It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Relatively concerned enough that we're working. You know, it's one thing. It's nice to have Freedom's Phoenix workshop here because it's got air conditioning. Outside, you know, these guys, they get stopped. You know, they're doing it. Hey, Nick, come here a second. You know, Nick is out there. He's telling me the story. They're out putting up signs, and they're always you do it at night because it's is he out there?
Yeah, I think the furniture just showed up.
Oh, okay, that's all right. Don't worry about it. You know, he's doing putting up signs at night. Well, you're the only one out there. What happens? A policing man see you and say hello up against the wall, redneck mother. You know, we want to have a conversation. Here comes Nick. Go ahead, Nick. Tell us. You know, when you're out putting up the signs, you put it in the dead of night. Why the heck are you doing it then?
Because it's really hot out during the day.
So when the officers stop, they pull you over. I mean, they think you're. Why do they even stop you anyway? What's going on?
Apparently, the light bulb on my license plate was out or dim. So, just because they can.
And then what happens? How long did he have you held? Did you have to produce your papers?
Well, he asked for my license, but that was about it. Because I was driving, so you have to have permission to do that.
And so what happens? He asked you what you doing. Did he see what you were doing? What was the conversation?
Well, you know, I was like, we're just kind of hanging signs, and I pointed over my shoulder. There's a back seat was full of signs. So he comes back, pulls me out of the car, and we were like, uh-oh, what's going on? But he just wanted to talk to me, and that was it.
Well, I mean, what did he say? He wanted to talk to you? He wanted to check your eyeballs? I mean, why is he pulling you out? For how long? 30 seconds? 3 minutes? You're a terrible interview, man.
I'm sorry, dude. it was like 2 minutes, and he asked me, he's like, so, have you ever been arrested before? Have you ever been in jail? Have you ever been blah, 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 all this other stuff? And I was like, no. So he's like, is it normal for you to be hanging signs at midnight? It's like, it's hot out during the day, and I don't think it's normal for anybody to ever be hanging signs.
So he finally just said, okay, nothing to see here, move along?
Yeah, he gave me my license back, and we got out of the car and hung a sign right there in front of him.
You know, that's one thing. A lot of people, they're so worried about law enforcement. They care whether you're hanging a sign or not. They just don't care. Yeah, Drew, what you got
to say? So he says to Nick, he says, well, yeah, you have 2 days. We were hanging signs on the 31st. It was past midnight, so it was the 1st. He says, you've got 2 days to fix your registration, because his registration wasn't renewed. It was technically expired, but he didn't know what day it was.
Oh, man, on the edge. Thanks, Nick. I wanted to, Drew, go ahead and tell us about what was special about today. Had you up early? I saw you. You were here when I came in for the morning show, and I'm like, oh, man, there must have been, you know, a UFO sighting or something for Drew to be up at this time. What was that all about?
Well, I got my time wasted anyway, but apparently the news is that the cameras are coming down today. But the reality is if you go home...
The surveillance cameras, the photo radar,
the
freeway.
Freeway surveillance cameras, also known as automated ticketing cameras, also known as the Redflex DPS contract, expires today or tonight at midnight. And as they stated in their press release, there will be no mobile units deployed today. And as of midnight tonight, the cameras will go dark, whatever that means. Because So they're saying the cameras are coming down, quote unquote, but they won't. The Redflex has 120 days to remove their equipment from the freeways. The Department of Public Safety might remove the signs here in, say, the next week or so, but the cameras don't have to come down for 120 days. That's 4 months, right? So that puts us at November 15th. Well, what's that, 2 weeks after the election? So the theory is that they're going to leave these. Yeah, although I did read on one news report that by Labor Day, which is like September 6th or something, that they'll bring the equipment down. I have a sneaky suspicion that they won't take the equipment down. They'll just turn them off or not issue tickets. And then if the contract magically gets re-signed after the election, then they'll just turn them back on. And I don't think they're going to, again, I can't say that they're turning them off. I just think they're going to stop issuing tickets. And one news report on Fox, and it didn't say
who. Well, you got to tell people what that means. I mean, this is continuous video surveillance where they the computer reads your driver, your license plates. They put it into a database, and they do it. It's called a program. It's called a person of interest thing with Homeland Security. And they go in and they say, I want to pull all the records on where Drew ever went and his license plate. And anytime you ever pass one of these cameras, it has a record of it. This is archived right, not later, okay?
Correct.
And they are going to, okay, they're going to go dark. Well, I don't know what that means. It's not going to issue tickets, but these things are going to stay on. Think about it. Who was governor that approved this when this stuff was all coming in? Department of Homeland Security.
Janet Napolitano.
Exactly. So what do you think is really going on here?
Well, you know, I think there was an indication to the Department of Public Safety that if they wanted to, camera fraud would be able to come up with the volunteer base to go put bags over the cameras. If so, the Department of Public Safety chose that to be a good idea. I think the volunteers would have done that pro bono.
I know. I got a garbage bag for you.
Exactly. Yeah, so that was kind of a joke. But so yeah, the contract that we're talking about is the contract between the Department of Public Safety, otherwise known as the Highway Patrol, and Redflex, the Australian company that brought these cameras to Arizona in the first place. Now, what was interesting is two months ago, when Janet said, or I'm sorry, not Janet, Jan Brewer, our current governor, said, I'm not going to renew the contract. I'm going to let it expire. When she said that, it was almost like it was just political maneuvering to take the issue away from, you know, this political season that's coming up, so no one could attack her, so she could say, well, see, I'm against the photo cameras and I'm going to get rid of them. Those cameras and that contract only relates to 10% of the cameras statewide. Those are just the cameras on the freeway. We're not talking about the city contracts, the county contracts, the municipalities that have the majority of the cameras statewide. So I don't know what the number is, but 76 cameras are coming down in the next 4 months on the freeways, and that only relates to under 10% of the cameras statewide.
You're so cynical.
So, well, 2 months ago when they put out the report, it said the headline, Arizona statewide, or, you know, photo radar equipment coming down statewide. People from out of town, out of state, called me saying, hey, I hear the cameras are coming down statewide. They're thinking that there was just one contract dealing with all the cameras all over the state. Well, it wasn't. It's like I said, it was only 10%. So you still have to deal with the red light cameras in Chandler and Mesa and Tempe, Phoenix, and everywhere else.
Well, if you got nothing to hide,
then they're not going to give you a ticket. Well, yeah, I'll tell you a funny story. We were at this, greater tea party event, and they were debating SB 1070. But the point is, we're out in the parking lot later with this woman, and Nick actually was the one who got in the conversation with her, and she said this exactly the same thing. She said, I'm not breaking the law. I don't have anything to hide. I don't mind the cameras taking video of me. I don't have anything to hide. So after this conversation, she got into her car and drove off with her headlights off. She drove away from the scene breaking the law, and she just told us, well, I don't break the law, so I got nothing to fear, and she drove off without her headlights on. I mean, just the irony of it.
I predict that there is more backlash coming from this type of behavior than I think a lot of people realize. This is all about just making money. And Redflex is an Australian company that somehow maneuvered and lobbied their way into getting whatever. And this has been such a hit on them financially that it looks like they may be bought by another company. Well, this other company, they're lobbying the legislature to turn over all of our road system to them so they can charge tolls for it. And I'm going,
Hooray.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, and they're buying out Redflex to do it, and then they go, yeah, we own the road. We can put, turn cameras on all we want.
And they've already passed the legislation in Arizona. It's laying dormant. It was passed two legislative sessions ago that Arizona approved public private partnerships to do toll roads on the freeways. That's already done by the legislature. They're just waiting for someone to come by and sign the contract.
You know, I wasn't so, you know, certainly if somebody wants to build a toll road, you know, fine, knock yourself out. But that's totally something different from them taking and spending their money in a monetary venture that, you know, they risk their own capital to do. When you have here with the state, they're like, oh, we already built it. Here, you can have it.
I'm going to pay for it again.
I'm going to pay
again and again.
I'm just, wow. Because, why do they do this stuff, Drew?
Because they can.
Because
we let them get away with it.
Yeah, well, you know, that's why they can. Until we stop letting them get away with it. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone. And those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
There we go.
Well, they're stealing down on Wall Street and in Washington, too. You know, it makes me wonder what's a guy on Main Street to do. I've always tried to be an honest, upstanding kind of guy. I must admit lately, I thought about giving something else a try. Oh, I want to be a pirate. I want to sail the seven seas. Yeah, I want to be a pirate. I want to do just what I please. When I need some money, I know just what I'll do. I'll take it from those same slick boys who stole it from me and you. And then I'll make them walk the plank. I lost my factory job after 15 years of working for the man. They said someone in China can do it better than I can. So I got more education, thought I'd have some security. But now I've been laid off, another victim of this bad economy. Oh, I want to be a pirate. I want to sail the seven seas. Yeah, I want to be a pirate. I want to do just what I please. When I need some money, I know just what I'll do. I'll take it from those same slick boys who stole it from me and you. And then I'll make them walk the plank. So while the bankers, the brokers, and politicians party on like nothing's wrong, the rest of us down here are trying our best just to carry on. And our homes, they're worth less today than they've ever been. Forget about retirement, we'll all be working till we're old men. But in the end, I just can't do it. Can't live out my fantasy. So now I'm flipping burgers. And my boss, well, he's just 18. And still, I'd rather be a pirate. Oh, I wish I were a pirate. Guess I'm just too damn scared to be a pirate. Hey, you want some fries with that?
I was sent this. It's MakeThemWalkThePlank.com. MakeThemWalkThePlank.com. And they sent this to me, the song producer, Jack Howell. And I just got it in the mail, you know, just sent to the radio show. And he's just, you know, and I had it sitting around for a while, I don't know, probably less than a week. You know, I said, I'll get to it. So I watched it with my friend Barry, and his wife came over last night for dinner. I go, he goes, what's that? You know, well, I want to be a pirate. What's that? You know, I don't know. I mean, I kind of saw it was a video, and I, you know, had it loaded up already. I hadn't watched it yet. And I said, well, here, you know, we'll watch it. So we watched it. It's only a few minutes, and I'm going, Okay, we'll have some fun with it. You know, we'll put it up there. So good job. Make them walk the, what did I just say it was?
Make them walk the plank.
MakeEmWalkThePlank.com. Hey, the guys, they just did their first sign. You know, they just cut it out today. They put it up on the wall. Yeah, you guys taking pictures already? So you take a picture. You know, one thing they put up there that I thought was interesting, you know, fences, borders, built to keep them out, keep you in, and they put them in, you know, like red and green, like Mexican colors, you know, the Mexican flag, you know, them, so it's, you know, with, yeah, so we know who them are. Well, it's to keep us in. So I, you know, that's powerful. You go, and we'll focus.
And the U is red, white, and blue.
Oh, see how smart you guys are? You know, the thing is that it is so, the creativity, you just can't go up against this stuff. What's going to happen is we have a libertarian candidate. She was the Campaign for Liberty director in her area. She's a precinct committee member with the Republican Party. Republican, 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 Republican. And her name is Andrea Garcia. So I guess she has Hispanic background, something, but I mean, she's a nurse, you know. And she's a cute thing, you know. She's a single mother and divorced back in the day or something. She takes care of herself. She, you know, raises a family, has a home, takes time out for activism. And it just angered her so much. How this was done, who passed it, how they did it, the fact that they weren't really talking about what the real problem was, is that this is just enslaving all of us. Everybody's going to have their ID. And all of this data is being transferred to Homeland Security. And you would think even the right would freak out when it's done by a Democratic administration, but in the name of immigration, it's okay. So I'm going, wow, you know, this, we're in strange days. So she ran against Russell Pierce. So she is going to be on the ballot in the general election. It's already done deal, man. Here we go. So it's going to be November. It's going to be Andrea Garcia, you know, a Hispanic surname, even though she didn't look Spanish. But, yeah, maybe a little bit. You know, she's dark-haired. But what will happen is, it'll be her versus the Republican Russell Pierce. And I think there's a Democrat in there too, but who cares, you know? So here we have this campaign. We're going to be focusing a lot of our efforts in that district because it's a high profile race. It's a high profile individual that's a leader in this cause. So of course we're going to take advantage of it and bring out that we call Mr. National ID. Because this is so, and they knew, that's why he was so angry with me when we highlighted this on the show and on Freedom's Phoenix, when we made it clear what the legislation actually said. No, none of these guys are doing interviews, so nobody actually read it. Oh, well, they're just reading bullet points. They never even read it. And Drew, you're out videotaping all these guys and various different functions and everything. Do you even remember any of these guys that even read it?
What is it called? The cover sheet?
Yeah, they had like a legislative summary.
Legislative summary. That's what it is. Yeah, that's what they've all read. And I think the most interesting thing was this woman. I don't want to even bother saying her name, but she's associated with one of the Tea Party groups, and she says, well, yeah, I'm really concerned about that. I don't like Real ID. I don't like National ID. I'm gonna have to do some research. And then she doesn't do any research, and then they come back and say, well, you know, what are you thinking? Well, I didn't do any research, but I called my representative, and he assured me that there's no National ID in this. So if you take your legislator's word for it, we're good. So end of story. I can go home now, right? I mean, it's not National ID, Ernie.
Well,
my legislator assured me.
Well, they did all the cover BS that they do. This is how they do it. He goes, I got legislative counsel filling his name, whoever guy that said it's not. Oh, the social, he said, you know, we got an attorney who says it's not.
County attorney says
and
it's
I go,
not.
Really? And then they did, yeah, and then the county attorney. Then they did, which then he runs on it, and, you know, and resigns and goes off to be running for attorney general. It's just a game that they play. Then we got this guy. Okay, really? So Campaign for Liberty on a national level, they bring in a constitutional scholar and all these guys in immigration, this, that, and so on and everything. So, I, you know, Campaign for Liberty is probably not going to BS you as much as these guys, you would think. So they came in and looked at it and go, yep, National ID. You know, so, no, but our guy said, well, our guy said, you know, who we believe. They didn't care. They just needed to have enough cover so that they could later say, well, they say, I've seen this before. They'll go, well, I'm so appalled that they would lie to me. You know, I would have never supported it had I known.
One of the traps that we fell into, a few of us activists fell into, is that they, I think they even probably deliberately started, they had provisions in there that dealt with the Real ID Act, which is something, you know, that came through in 2005, or how it was going to interface with Real ID. So a lot of activists started criticizing people and saying, we don't want this because it's got real ID in it. We don't want it because it's got real ID in it. And it was all semantics. It wasn't real ID. And they were actually able to do an amendment right before the thing passed that said, this won't be part of real ID. Well, it's Coke or Pepsi. It has national ID in it. And since we were using the wrong terminology, we kind of got fumbled a little bit on that issue. But the point is, you can call it Coke or you can call it Pepsi. It's still a database.
And this is how the Real ID thing came out. It was probably 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, last session or session before. And Real ID was a big issue, and we knew what they wanted to do. Now, keep in mind, who's governor? Janet Napolitano. Janet Napolitano was U.S. Assistant Attorney Prosecutor, you know, under Janet Reno. And then she became attorney general, then governor. A lot of people don't know, before that, back in the early days of the 90s, 91, 92, they had a thing called ASCAM. It's where a bunch of politicians here got nailed by the county attorney, Romley, then, that now, when Andrew Thomas left to go run for attorney general, you know, being all buds with Arpaio and I hate Mexicans, you know, Romley's now county attorney again. The county board of supervisors all said, we love Romley now. They brought him back, and now he's going after Arpaio. Oh, it's going to be good. Well, that's more entertainment for later. But what happened was, during this sting on legislators, they nailed this one guy. They nailed a bunch of them. But Alan Stevens was Senate Majority Leader when the Democrats were in charge and so on. He gets on tape, taking $4,000. It's all nailed and everything. All of a sudden, oh, we can't use the tapes. They're garbled. Somebody put a magnet by them or something, or they're not working. Who was his criminal defense attorney? Got him off. Oh, and got like $60,000 awarded to them to pay her, Janet Napolitano. She becomes governor, and he becomes a chief of staff. I'm going, this is how bad these people are. And you think that they didn't have it planned? So what'd they do with Real ID? What'd they do? How'd they bamboozle us? Oh, I'm going to tell you a little story when we come back. You stay right there.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, how about some facts and evidence and history and documentation and stipulation of... You know, that's what we do here on Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, I've got Drew Phillips in here just yakking with us, you know, as we're dragging it out, dragging out the stories. You know, let me tell you, I got to finish this one story, though. Real ID, they made a big deal out of this. And Russell Pierce made a big deal. Oh, no, we passed legislation saying we would never allow Real ID in Arizona. Real ID be bad, that'd be bad. Nobody wants Real ID. No Real ID. And we go... On Freedom's Phoenix, you do searches on this stuff, and we're like going, let me tell you why. Because they already had it. It was called the Western Hemisphere Hemisphere Travel Initiative. The Western Hemisphere Travel Initiative is, you may know it better as enhanced IDs, or your enhanced driver's license.
The 3-in-1 driver's license, they called it.
And what they did is they have, if you can just do a Google search on it, you know, Western Hemisphere Travel Initiative, or just enhanced driver's license.
Trusted Traveler Partner Initiative. See, it's got so many names, but that's how they do it.
Yeah, they keep changing. What it is that, you know, the biometrics, the Real ID, is the picture on the driver's license. You know, they compute that into, you've seen the, you know, the police movies and all and shows and all that kind of crap. You know, boom, yeah, you're Real ID'd. There you go, right there, little barcode-looking thing, done. Magnetic strip, done. It's already on there. So what they did is they made it part of the Western Hemisphere, where you can go Canada, America, North America, anywhere, Mexico, whatever. The Western Hemisphere Travel Initiative, and Arizona is one of the first states that got all kind of arms and legs wrapped around that one, because Janet Napolitano was governor. So she's getting, you know, cameras on the freeways and all that kinds of stuff. She's getting all good. But as political and, kind of media cover for them doing it, they pass legislation. We are against Real ID. Ooh, that's evil. They already had it.
I'll go you one further than that. How about Russell Pierce was the head of the DMV in the mid and late 90s. He gets an award from IBM as being the first government agency to implement their computer systems into the DMV data system, saving the taxpayers millions of dollars a year by putting everything online. But you want to get conspiratorial about it. They set up these standards years ago. So those pictures that you're talking about, they've been taking them at the DMV long before that legislation ever passed. They were ready for it. It's just incremental steps.
You know,
and it goes back to Russell being the head of the DMV in the 90s.
It gets even worse. Russell, at that time, they also included your Social Security number with that. That was a big deal. People went, oh, heck no. And it used to be there for a short period of time, your Social Security number was your driver's license number. And people freaked out. And they go, all right, fine.
They'll use this crisis to say, fine, we'll give you a different random string of numbers that you don't recognize, but those numbers are the database that they were planning on building in the first place. And that number is tied to your Social Security number.
Exactly.
Whether it says your Social Security number on your card or not,
exactly,
doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. And these are the people coming up into this. This just starts a long time ago. I'll tell you, a lot of the information that we get on this and a lot of the research that is done was by a guy, and he didn't let me say his name, but his initials are Jeff Greenspan. And he was a Southwest coordinator for Ron Paul's campaign. Okay. I said, you know, look, you need an inside Politico kind of guy. All right. Jeff Greenspan, he's a Republican. He likes playing all, you know, these conventions and conferences and all that, and, you know, now to quit it, point of order, Robert Rule crap, you know. So I go, you know, he's your man, all right, him and Andre. So they go in, they're joined at the hip, they're, you know, doing, and they started working actually as paid staff for Ron Paul's campaign, did a great job of what they wanted done. And I don't work well with others, you know, when it comes to this kind of structured, you know, collective thing, especially in politics and campaigns. So the Levolution was totally outside of this. But that didn't mean we didn't know these guys, and we didn't know what they were doing or know what we were doing, but we didn't coordinate. You know, there was no, well, you know what we need you to do? I go, that's very interesting. We don't care. You know, so we do whatever we want. We want to put up more signs. But one of the things that got Jeff involved in this thing, what he got free-oriented, is he's a computer geek, database and banking, whatever the heck guy, and he was doing the data preparation and the consolidation and the field making and all that kind of stuff to implement this transfer into these kind of, you know, IBM database fields and so on to be able to do this national ID thing for the state of Pennsylvania. You know, this is what, he lived in Philadelphia for years, and this is what he did. As a young man, he's doing this. He's starting to realize, you know, the agencies involved and who's getting it, where it's going. That's what got him started. And how he went down this road is that, you know, he had, you know, some, you know, kind of more conspiratorial, kind of the, you know, the evil empire of thing, and you're just a cog in the machine kind of deal from Utah. You know, he had some friends that were more, hey, man, I don't know if you really understand what's going on here. So a lot of that started to click in him. He was friends with them. All of a sudden, he's finding out everything they're saying is true. You know, he's starting to do some research. We've had him on the show before. Great, great, great research on a lot of the lineage of where this stuff came from and who did it and why and so on. Well, you know, it's not conspiracy. It's just because they can. I mean, you know, of course they did it. Well, during the 90s, as they were computerizing everything, because once they started being able to do it, where do you think all this money came from? The states couldn't afford to do all this. They didn't care. Nobody, there was no big clamoring of the people to do this stuff. It came from the federal government. They were either mandates or it's tied to, you know, some kind of funding. You know, you got to have your seatbelt law and all this database in order to be able to get your funding for whatever. I mean, it's just whatever social economic engineering they needed to create this. Well, there were people that were taking the data that was in there, in your driver's license information, in your state information, your permanent record from when you were in second grade. I mean, you know, whatever. And they put this in to fields that then can be transmitted, but it's illegal to do that. It's not legal. There was no funding for it. There was no. So what did they do? It gets now, they go, no real ID, but they already had the Western Hemisphere Travel Initiative enhanced driver's license. They already did that, so they didn't need it. So that was just smokescreen. Then they get to the other part, which was what? Well, they do this SB 1070 because of the immigrants. Damn Mexicans. We got to get them taken care of. Instead of eliminating the welfare state, they want everybody to be on the list. So what did they do? They said, all these lawyers said, no, it's not national ID. And we're like, how can they say it's not national ID? The end result of this is all of this information is transferred to the national government to the Homeland Security. And they said it's not national ID because while the legislation forbids any municipality, state, county, or anybody from the transfer, preventing the transfer, it doesn't require it.
Voluntary, man.
It's all voluntary.
Yeah, that's cool.
You don't have to.
The other point is, Ernie, the federal government's probably too lazy and mismanaged to collect the information in the first place. If it was offered to them for free, they wouldn't take it, would they?
Janet will.
Janet will, yeah, all right.
So, you know, I always wanted to know where Ernie lived.
Well, and that's
it's on the bottom of my front page of Freedom's Phoenix.
and that's the irony of, you know, this argument that the libertarians and all of us here at Freedom's Phoenix are trying to make about national ID is because, you know, like we went to the Pro 1070 rally, which was essentially a Tea Party rally, same group of people, and they're all wearing Gadsden. They're all wearing Gadsden T-shirts, and they're all, you know, waving Gadsden flags and saying they're small government people, and they don't want the big bad federal government to grow anymore. But we'll give the states a little more power and a little more authority and a little more, you know, we'll indemnify cops and make them above the law. So, I mean, the hypocrisy of the Tea Party movement in this is really just kind of in your face.
You even show them the link. You go, they're freaking out in the mid-90s about multi-jurisdictional task forces. You guys remember that? You know, they called it multi-jurisdictional task forces. The evil Clinton was bringing in the feds to work, you know, and embedded in with the local law enforcement and their blah, 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 blah. Here comes Homeland Security. Janet Napolitano's up there, got Obama and friends, and it was during, and Bush and all these guys, and they have what they call fusion centers. These fusion centers are the access that they get all this information that goes into the Fed, but it's supposed to be under the promise that, well, you know, you give us all your information and we'll give you access to the accumulated information. You know, they go, oh, okay. So the local sheriff, police, de la whatever, is going, wow, we get access to all the, you know, well, sign me up, and all the people I represent. You
know, plus the federal money that comes along with it for them to interface with the setup.
Right. I mean, it's just, it's all weird. This is how police states happen. You know, this is, and for the first time in human history, the king's inside your head. You know, he's reading your emails. You know, he's getting an idea of your conversations, your inflections, your tones, the words that you use. The, you know, they're putting you in categories. They're slicing and dicing. You know, what's going to happen with that? Remember the movie V for Vendetta? They go, they had the blow up of the Bailey Building, you know, on the 5th of November. And the first one, they go, well, the interlink conversations are, we have so much percentage of conversation about and pro and negative. And that, you know, they just want to have access to the information. They want to be able to read your mood. Because if they can read a number, if they can get a percentage, whenever government comes out with a percentage of anything to do with trade or what people think and polls or whatever, if they got a number, they're looking, if they don't already have it, they're going to create a dial to change that number. They're going to create a department of, a propaganda for, whatever it takes to change the number. Well, we are changed. Arizona style is Drew Phillips. And he's out there helping, you know, change the number in our area, in our way.
And in Utah, Salt Lake City, the Axiom Conference 2010 at axiomconference.com. I sound like a commercial. I don't like that. But
Axiom,
come check it out because it's going to be a lot of fun.
Axiom
and Ernie won't be there.
Conference. And I go, you see that? I got denied. I guess I'm not going. Axiomconference.com, right?
Correct.
All right. So you guys go ahead and check it out. Salt Lake City, and we'll be there passing out goodies, letting them all know that we're on the radio, there, and, you know, in a lot of places around the country. And we don't talk a lot about, you know, Arizona weather here, because we know that doesn't apply.
It's going to be really nice in Salt Lake City. They're like a mile high. I mean, it's like Denver.
But you know what we do have in common? The politics here are exactly the same. I guarantee it. It's all the same. We talk about here because we know you're suffering it there, too. Maybe you can be inspired by what we're doing. We'll talk to you tomorrow.